I want to begin this morning. I'm not even going to tell you the title. I'm going to lead into the title with a story. An event that happened in my life about three weeks ago, right at my house. I live in a house over on 9G, right on 9G. So a lot of crazy things happen on 9G. You know, there's a lot of transient people walking. We've had all kinds of things happen over the years there. And so about 3 weeks ago, you know, I'm sleeping. Actually, I should back up a little bit. I am a heavy sleeper. When my eyes close, I am dead to the world. You could have a Mack truck could plow into our house. You could, in fact, we had one time a transformer exploded outside the road. A car hit a transformer. It exploded. I heard nothing. My wife shrieking, standing on the bed. Ah! You know, the world's. I heard nothing. And so my wife is a light sleeper. I am a very heavy sleeper. So that sets the stage here. So about 3 weeks ago, I'm sleeping and Sandra has woken up. And so I don't even hear any of this. She I guess, went down to the front door, thought somebody was at the front door knocking, and so she comes back to bed and doesn't say anything to me the first time. But this happens every single morning for the next 2 or 3 days. So about 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock, every single morning, there's this knocking sound that she says she hears, right? So, you know, after a while, this is driving her crazy. So she starts waking me up. Now, you have to understand, you know, how many people are heavy sleepers here? Do we have some heavy sleepers here? All right, God bless you. You're with me on this, right? Okay. So now picture this. She wakes me up out of a dead sleep and says, "Can't you hear that?" And I'm like, what? All I hear is you. You know, go back to sleep. You know, just, I hear this sound, this knocking. Somebody's knocking at the door. And I keep going to the door and nobody's there. You know, I don't know who's doing this. And so I said, just go back to sleep. So this happens now for 2 or 3 more days. Now now I'm beginning to have some fun with this. You got to understand who I am. So she keeps waking me up. And I'm like, honey, are you sure the knocking's not inside your head maybe? You know, I'm beginning to mess with her. You know, maybe there's a little crazy going on. So I'm really starting to irritate her. But she's hearing this noise. So finally, she wakes me up enough one day. And I actually hear this knocking. And it sounds like a knock at the door. It really does. And so this time, I say, okay, I'll go to the door. So I go to the door and I open the door. I run around the house. Nobody. There's nobody. And it was a bit freaky. So here's what now this is the guy thing. I'm sure most other people wouldn't do this. I'm like, you know what? If this is some jerk knocking on my door, I'm not going to let him torment me anymore. So for about the next week and a half, we hear this knocking. I hear it. Sandra hears it. And I said, don't even bother. Now, just so you know, before I end this story, if you come to our house and knock on the door, probably no one's going to answer it. Ring the doorbell, all right? Just so you know, we've been conditioned now. We just don't go if there's knocks anymore. So this goes on and on and on. And obviously, there's a noise. There's something going on. And we've never heard anything like it before. We've been in that house for almost 25 years, never heard anything like it. And so finally, a couple days ago, this knock happens, and Sandra says, I've had enough. I'm just going to go quietly down and open the door. Maybe they run when they hear me going down the stairs. So she goes and checks, looks, and I hear the door open, and then I hear grumbling, stomping back, and I'm like, oh, this didn't go well. But out of the corner of my eye, now we're on the second floor, out of the corner of my eye, I see a shadow in the window. Now I'm on the second floor. I see a shadow. I said, oh, I bet you I know what it is. So I go downstairs, I go out quietly, walk around the house. Now, Sandra, doing the obvious thing, is looking around for a person. I go around, and you know who I see? Let me show you a picture of who I saw. Well, a picture like him. Now, we have a flock of pigeons that have been around our house for the 25 years we've been there. They've been there for the entire time we've been there. But one of them, instead of pecking at the ground like they always do, had got on our roof and was picking the seeds out of the gutters. And he was the fattest pigeon I ever saw. Instead of being on the ground trying to find the seeds, the gutters of our house, because of the trees that overhang, was full of seeds. So he was like bigger than that. He was just like a fat little guy, a guy or girl. I don't know which. It. We'll call it because we don't know. But the point is that he had left the flock, or she, it, had left the flock to get the seeds where it was easier to get. In a sense, and this is the title of what I want to talk to you about today, he dared to be different. instead of having the flock mentality, instead of doing what everybody else was doing, every other bird was doing as part of that flock and surviving, he dared to be different, to go to a higher place and get seed. And so now when we hear the knocking, guess what? We know who it is. It's all good. Sander can sleep peacefully now knowing that our trusty little pigeon is there. Again, first time in 25 years, the only one that's ever done that. So I hope no one else learns from that one. That's what I'm hoping. Or else I'm going to have to put some kind of water sprinkler or something on the roof to kind of scare him away, because Sandra is a light sleeper. But I want to talk to you today about daring to be different. And I believe as believers, God has called us to be different than everyone else. But I'm going to ask you an honest question, because I've had to ask this of myself. That means, you know, the illustration, for example, when everyone's going downstream, you swim upstream. That means when everyone else is doing a certain thing, you do the other. That every time when you hear that type of sermon or that type of thinking, here's what you think. That's aggravating. It's hard to swim against the current. It's hard to do different things when everybody else is doing it. You hear what I'm saying? And so here's what I want to propose to you today. Why would you and I want to dare to be different? And I want to give you three reasons this morning why God wants us to be different, that will be a blessing to us, all right? So if you have your Bibles, we're going to begin in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, a lot of Christians ask me, you know, well, why do we use the Old Testament at all? You know, we're New Testament believers. We're born again because of the new covenant. But the Old Testament contains so many wonderful stories of God's interaction with the children of Israel primarily. And so though we're New Testament believers under the blood of Christ, all the Old Testament is filled with the character and nature of God as he worked with God's people, the nation of Israel. And so as you look at that, his nature, he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when we can look at these accounts in the Old Testament, there are life lessons that we can learn there. So in this particular account, to give you a little bit of background, in the book of Deuteronomy, we have, it's called the book, in fact, Deuteronomy means the book of remembrance. It's the book of remembrance. In fact, when Jesus was tempted out in the wilderness, he quoted three times from the book of Deuteronomy, the book of remembrance. In this particular account we're going to look at, Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. They had gotten out of Egypt and they were heading to the promised land. And they're right near the edge of the promised land. They could even see it. And so he's giving them instructions about the promised land. And so I want to pick up that. And it's reading from Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verses 1 and 2. We're going to jump around a little bit. But Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. Now, it shall come to pass. Here's Moses speaking. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. And then it goes in where he talks about you'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the country. You know, you'll have animals and you'll have abundant rain. He gives all these awesome promises. But then he concludes that. Jump down to verse 13. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. And it says this, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe them. You shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. And so here Moses is giving these instructions saying, look, you're going to go into a land where they serve other gods. And you'll notice it was small g. So all kinds of different gods. Baal, Asherah, a whole bunch of weather gods. You know, they would offer up their children as sacrifices. They did horrible, horrible things back then, the people in the land. And God was saying that this land is for them, but they're not to be like those people. In other words, not to become assimilated with them, but to be different, to be a particular people, a peculiar people, you know, special, called out. That's what God was calling them to do. So here's the thing. Why do we want to swim upstream? Why do we want to be different from other people? Why do we want to dare to be different? So God can do what? Bless us. Now, what does the word bless mean? Bless means to, first of all, means be highly favored. Means that. Means to be happy. Literally, you can translate blessed to happy. God wants you to be happy, to be blessed, to be fortunate, to be well off. That's the heart of God for you. But this was a promise with a condition, wasn't it? He said, look, at the land's there. You're going to go into the land, and it's wonderful, but you can't be like those other people if you want to be blessed. And so it's the same message for you and I, even though this was thousands of years ago to the nation of Israel. The thing is, the same promise is to the church of Jesus today. That if we're willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. God wants to bless us. So why do we want to go against the current? Why do we want to not do what the rest of the world does? Why? Because we want God to bless us. How many people want to be blessed by the Lord? Well, that means then that we can't act like the rest of the world. And when I say that, I'm not talking about necessarily external things. That's a part of it. But I'm not saying that we have to change maybe the way we dress and that kind of thing. I'm really not focused on that today. It's on the inside. I don't want you just to be different. I want you to be different so you can inherit the divine blessings that God has for you. And that begins on the inside. Really, what I'm talking about to be different begins on the inside. When Moses was instructing these people, he wasn't telling them, dress different, look different on the outside. He was telling them that their actions had to be different. And where do actions come from? The heart. They come down from the innermost being of who you are. And that's where the dare to be different begins. It begins on the inside. So the first reason why we want to swim upstream, why we want to dare to be different, is why? So we can be blessed. So look now with me to the New Testament in 1 Peter 2, verse 9. Here's what it says. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. As I look at this scripture, it almost sounds like an Old Testament scripture, doesn't it? Well, parts of it are from the Old Testament, and it's been converted to the New Testament. See, in a sense, we are a nation. Christianity is a nation or a group of people, aren't we? And so as you look at the children of Israel as a nation, how God spoke to them, he's speaking to us as a nation of Christians. Even though we're not all Christians here in America, or there's not all Christians in any country for that matter, we are a nation of ourselves. Why? Because our citizenship is where? Of heaven. So we absolutely are a nation. And he says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It doesn't matter what side of the tracks you were born on, or under the tracks for that matter, or what racial background, or how much money you've got. None of those things matter to God, because he says you're a chosen generation. Why? Because you've been adopted into the household of God. You're one of his kids. Now, it doesn't matter how old you are. Now, here's what you need to say to yourself. I am one of God's kids. See, you're just a little kid in a big person's body. You really are. That's what I am. You know, we had five children, Sandra and I. And you know what Sandra would tell people when they would ask her how many kids she's got? You know what she would say, right? Six. Yeah, she would say six. And you know what? I'm okay with that. Because really, that's how I am. I'm just a little kid in a big body. Why? Because that's how God sees you and I, no matter how old we are. We're one of his kids. And let's put that scripture back up. I want to finish going through that. As you look at it, it says, why are we all that? He calls us to be that. So we have a position in him. So that we may do what? Proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So not only are we to be blessed, but we're to be a blessing to others. And through, how do we do that? Through proclaiming who he is. And how do we do it? In walking in the light of the Lord. See, again, to be different in this world, we have to walk differently than the rest of the world. We can't walk no longer in the darkness of the futile ways of how we used to walk. But now we need to walk in the light of the Lord. And that takes a conscious decision on our part, because we live in a dark world. That's just the reality of it. And for us, we're called to be lights in this world. And as a light, what are we doing? We're proclaiming the glories of who he is. That's how we can bless others. When someone comes up to you and says, you're different. First of all, don't get all weirded out by that. It's okay. It's okay. And here's what you do. Say thank you. Come on now. I know for some, here's the thing. The minute somebody says that, here's what happens. You shrink back into your shell. You're like, oh man, did I use deodorant today? All of a sudden you become this self-conscious, kind of weird, freaked out person. Stop that. When someone comes up to you, that's the greatest compliment a Christian could receive. That you're different. There's something about you that's different. Don't get all self-conscious. Thank them. And then ask them, well, what do you think's different? And let it become a conversation that you can have with them to bring them to the point of meeting your best friend, Jesus. Because you've been changed. You are now in the light of the Lord. And that light, as you walk in it, it emulates from you. If you're walking in the light of the Lord, it has a profound impact wherever you go. Now, it might not happen every moment and every day where you are, but I'm telling you, if you walk in the light of the Lord, whether you use words or not, you're proclaiming who he is. And sooner or later, words will come out. And you will be a light in the darkness. So, first and second reason why you want to go against the current, why you dare to be different, you want to be blessed. The second reason is you want to be a blessing to those around you. But there's a third reason, which in my mind is actually the most important of all. And I want to take you to that today. And it's in the book of Daniel. Now, let me give you a little bit of background. We're going to go to Daniel chapter 3 in a few minutes. But the book of Daniel is, you know, thousands of years after our first reading in Deuteronomy. So we have Deuteronomy happens, well, about 1,000 years, give or take. So in Deuteronomy, we have the nation of Israel going into the promised land and becoming a nation. So they become a nation, everything's going well because they're obeying the word of the Lord. Then guess what happens? They start not obeying the Lord. And if you look in the Old Testament, you'll see a bunch of books called the Minor and Major Prophets. Well, those are all people that God sent to the nation of Israel to say, stop, stop doing that. Stop worshiping the idols, the small g gods. Stop doing that. Start to listen to the Lord, and he'll help you, and he'll protect you, and he'll save you. But what did the children of Israel decide? Nope, going to do my own thing. And so here's what happened. First of all, the Assyrians came and took over. And then after that, another nation called the Babylonian Empire, which was a massive empire, came and took the children of Israel into captivity, taking only the best that was there and destroying everything else. And that's where we pick up the story. And in this story, there's a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king at that time. And kings in that day, they thought they were deity. They literally thought they were a god in themselves. And so what this king does, he had captured some of the Israelites four of them, but we're only going to talk about three today, by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They rose in authority and administrative power because they showed a gifting. And so the king put them in charge of an area near Babylon. And so the king at this point, so that's all going great, everybody's happy. The king decides he's going to build an idol to himself. It's amazing. So he goes to the plains of Dura, that's where he went. He had these ovens constructed, and he refined gold right on site. And he built an idol of himself, a monument of himself, that was 60 cubits high. That's over 90 feet tall of pure gold. Can you believe that? Solid gold. It'd be worth billions and billions and billions of dollars today. Now, I wish I could find where that is now, right? We might go out there to the, you know, I have a feeling some other people have already scrounged that all up and it's gone. But the point is that this thing was giant. And so here's what he said to all his administrative government people. He said, look, when we play music, what you're all going to do is bow down and worship this idol. And in doing so, you're worshiping me. And so they played the music and everybody bowed, you know, and did, except for three people. How many people know who they were? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so there's always a tattletale. Now, I'm not going to ask if anybody here was a tattletale. Don't be a tattletale, right? But there was a tattletale. Went running to the king, said, hey, you know those Israelites, you know, there's three of them. They won't bow down to you when you said that they were supposed to. And so that's where we pick up the story. And it's in Daniel 3, beginning at verse 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the psaltery and symphony, with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? And so, the king in his mind, I think he was trying to be nice to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because in theory, he could have just grabbed them and thrown them into the furnace. But here's what he's doing. He's giving them a second chance to do the right thing in his mind. You know, maybe there was a language translation error. Maybe they didn't hear the call for everyone to bow down. You know, maybe they just missed it. So he's giving them a second chance. Can I tell you that the world system will give you lots of second chances? In other words, when you dare to be different, you take that step of faith to do the right thing at your job when everybody's being dishonest about something, and you're like, no, that's not right. I can't do that. And the boss takes you aside or someone takes you aside and says, look, you know, everyone's going this way. You know, and you're the only one going that way. Do you like your job? You know, you need to kind of do what you're supposed to do here, like everyone else is. They'll give you the second chance all the time. When you're at school and you decide not to do what everybody else is doing, you know what I'm saying. I went to school. It was a few years ago. They did a lot of crazy things then like they do now. All the popular stuff. You know, in other words, things that don't line up with the word of truth, what the word of God says is the right thing to do. You have to make a decision. And they'll give you a couple chances, and then after that, they won't have anything to do with you. Are you willing to be that person? Are you willing to dare to be different for the sake of Jesus? That's really the challenge for us today. So here the king, a small god, right, small g, says, look, I'll give you a second chance to bow before me. Here's their response. Verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Verse 18. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor we worship the gold image which you have set up. This is really interesting, and you actually have to combine these two scriptures to hear what's really being said. First of all, they're saying, look, God's going to deliver us. Sounds really good, right? If I would have liked it if that ended there, then it went on to the good part later. But it doesn't say that. Here's what it says. But even if it doesn't, we will not bow down and serve. In other words, they were at a point in their daring to be different to the death even, say, we are not going to compromise our walk with God. And the question to you and I today in our daring to be different, how far will we dare to be different? At what level will we cave in? At what level of pressure from the world and from the enemy of this world or from others around that are trying to influence us, will we cave in to that pressure of daring to be different and begin to flow in the same stream and go in the same direction as them? See, the choices for you and I today, are we going to choose to do the right thing? You see, your divine destiny is in daring to be different. You can't find your place in God doing what the world does. You'll never see it, you'll never find it, and you'll never experience it. But when you go God's way, you will find it. And let's see what happens here. This is a great example, a perfect example of this. So obviously, let me give you a little background. Nebuchadnezzar is not happy with their response. He's the kind of guy that when he snaps his finger, that things just happen. You see, you get what I'm saying? He's not used to anybody standing up and saying, no, I'm not going to do that. In fact, the last person that did that probably was carried out with his head in a basket. You hear what I'm saying? And so here's what the king decides. He says, well, look it, we got this furnace right here. Let's make it 7 times hotter than normal. And as an example to the rest of the people, just to make sure no one else says no to me, we're going to throw these guys in the furnace and just fry them up like fried chicken. You know, they're just going to die there and be an example to the rest of the world. It says that his command was so urgent that the men who tied up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as they were throwing them into the fire was so intense, the flames came out and killed the soldiers. So we're talking, this is one serious fire. Haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, true, O king. Here's what Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 25. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like who? the Son of God. There's Jesus showing up in the Old Testament. So here's these three men, willing to dare to be different to the point of death. And in the fire, who shows up? Jesus shows up. Can I tell you that there probably isn't going to be any furnaces that we're going to be throwing in, at least at this present time in history? It could happen one day, maybe in some parts of the world, or maybe here one day. I don't know. But can I tell you that each one of us deal with fiery trials of life? There are fiery trials going on right here amongst our brothers and sisters in the Lord, right here, right now. Maybe in the areas of relationships and in the areas of jobs, at schools, at home, you know, wherever. But you're going through fiery trials. And here's the thing, you're praying like most of us would. God, get me out of this. And literally, you're almost looking, if I can compromise, if I can do this to get out of this, I'm going to do it. But here's the thing, you're going in the wrong direction. Because where's God? He's in the fiery trial. He doesn't want you to skirt around it. He wants you to go through it and come out the other side. That's God's heart for you. So not only daring to be different, does God want us to be blessed and be a blessing to others? He wants us to experience Him. When you dare to be different and follow through to the point of death, and when I say death, it could be physical, but I'm talking about emotional death, where you give up and you finally say, God, I want everything that you've got, then that's when God can intervene and He'll walk with you in the midst of the fire and be right there with you. In fact, this translates to the New Testament. It's not just an Old Testament story. Look at this in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the Romans. Now, let me tell you something. Back in that day, you know what Romans thought of Christians? Fire fodder. In other words, they used Christians to light up the pathway to go to the Colosseum. In other words, they saw that Christians were nonconformists, that they wouldn't be part of the Roman culture. They wouldn't worship their gods because they only worshiped the one true God, big G. And so they saw them as a problem. And every time the Romans would try to stomp out Christians, what would happen? More would spring up. It's like trying to put out a wildfire. They couldn't do it. In fact, the more they were persecuted, the stronger the Christians came back. Why? Because that generation dared to be different. And the Apostle Paul was speaking to them. And look at this. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as what? Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do you think that maybe he was thinking back to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That literally, are you willing to give your body physically over, that if it meant being put in a furnace for the glory of God, that you'd be willing to do it? Let me tell you something, that would make you a very dangerous person. Because then you're not worried about what other people think, what other people do. You don't care. The only person you care about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul was speaking about here. He's saying, look, are you willing to be a living sacrifice, whatever that takes? Now here's why, though. Look at this in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here it is right here. Don't be conformed. In other words, God has called you and I to be nonconformists. Now, that doesn't mean to be rebels without a cause. I'm not talking about that kind of thing where, okay, you just dress different to be different or you just do things to be different. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about to be different so that you can find out the divine destiny that God's got for you. And that's what it says right here in the scripture. Don't be conformed. In other words, don't do what the world does, but be transformed. And that word metamorphosis, that's the same word used to describe a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. In other words, it's completely different. Listen, all of you are butterflies on the inside. All of you are, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that's what God has called each one of us to be. Now, how does this happen? Does it happen by our clothing being changed? Does it happen by something extraneous in our lives? No. It happens by the renewing of our mind. In other words, the daring to be different doesn't begin on the outside with anything. It begins right up here. Right up here in your decision making, in the decisions that you make. When you make uncompromising decisions to do what God has called you to be. When you dare to be different from the other parts of this world. When you dare to be different from what you were. Sometimes our greatest enemy isn't external. It's the one on the inside where we have habits and lifestyles and patterns in our lives where God is saying, no, you need to stop that. I'm not calling you to do that. I'm calling you to do this. Here's why. And if you could pop that scripture up again, there's a reason why we want to do this. You're going to put it up. There it is. So that you may prove, here's a better word, find out what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. In other words, you can't find out what God's got for you in the fullness of it unless you're daring to be different. Why? Because Jesus is in the fiery trials. When you're willing to be everything you're supposed to be for God, then God can open up a path and show you exactly what he's got for you. In other words, you can't stay the same and expect God to do new things. I wish it was true. I wish we could just say, well, God, you know, I'll just wait here and when you're ready to do something in my life. One day I did that, actually. I was really mad at God. This is about 20 years ago. I was really mad at him. Something didn't go right, and I was like, huh, well, fine then. And here's what I did. I actually announced to God. I said, God, you know where I am. You can find me when you want me. That's literally what I said. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know some people here said the same thing in one way or another. In fact, you might have even used a few more adjectives than I did. And so I was like, fine, that's the way. And a couple of weeks went by, and what happened? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? A few more weeks, a little more time. And finally I said, well, God, you know, I wasn't going to wait that long. And he began to talk to my heart. And here's what he said to me. He said, I have done everything I can for you through the cross of Calvary. I've done it all. Are you willing to be different now for me? You see, he had done his part. Now it was on me to begin to do my part. Now it's on you to begin to do your part. Are you willing to dare to be different? Now, I gave you three good reasons. Let me just go through them again. Three good reasons to dare to be different. So you can be what? Blessed, fortunate, well off, happy. You know, that's awesome, right? So you can be a blessing. So you can bless those around because you're the head and not the tail. That means that you're in a place of authority in the realm of the Spirit that God has blessed you. And in turn, you can bless those. But the one that I love the most is so that I can be with him and experience him. Because it's through being different. And you go through all those circumstances because you're being different for him, that he's there in the midst of it, guiding you and helping you through the midst of the fire. That's God's heart for you and I today. How many are willing to be different for him? Amen. God bless you this morning.